Part 2. A Range of Musicality. Chapter 7. Sense and Sensibility. A Range of Musicality. We often speak of people as having or not having a good ear. A good ear means, as a start, having an accurate perception of pitch and rhythm. We know that Mozart had a wonderful ear and, of course, he was a sublime artist. We take it that all good musicians must have a decent ear, even if not one of Mozartian caliber. But is a good ear sufficient? This comes up in Rebecca West's partly autobiographical novel The Fountain Overflows, a story of life in a musical family, with a mother who is a professional musician, like West's own mother, an intellectually brilliant but unmusical father, and three children, two of whom, like their mother, are deeply musical. The best ear, however, belongs to the unmusical child, Cordelia. She, in her sister's words, had a true ear. Indeed, she had absolute pitch, which neither Mama nor Mary nor I had. And she had supple fingers. She could bend them right back to the wrist, and she could read anything at sight. But Mama's face crumpled, first with rage, and then, just in time, with pity, every time she heard Cordelia laying the bow over the strings. Her tone was horribly greasy, and her phrasing always sounded like a stupid grown-up explaining something to a child. Also, she did not know good music from bad, as we did, as we had always done. It was not Cordelia's fault that she was unmusical. Mama had often explained that to us. She had taken her inheritance from Papa. An opposite situation is described in Somerset Maugham's story The Alien Corn. Here, the elegant young son of a newly ennobled family, being groomed for a gentleman's life of hunting and shooting, develops, to his family's dismay, a passionate desire to be a pianist. A compromise is reached, in which the young man goes to Germany to study music, with the understanding that he will return to England after 2 years and submit himself to the opinion of a professional pianist. When the time comes, George, newly returned from Munich, takes his place at the piano. Leah Maycart, a famous pianist, has come down for the day, and all the family is gathered around. George throws himself into the music, playing Chopin with a great deal of brio. But something is amiss, as the narrator observes. I wish I knew music well enough to give an exact description of his playing. It had strength and a youthful exuberance, but I felt that he missed what is to me the peculiar charm of Chopin, the tenderness, the nervous melancholy, the wistful gaiety and the slightly faded romance that reminds me always of an early Victorian keepsake. And again I had the vague sensation, so slight that it almost escaped me, that the two hands did not quite synchronize. I looked at Ferdy and saw him give his sister a look of faint surprise. Muriel's eyes were fixed on the pianist, but presently she dropped them and for the rest of the time stared at the floor. His father looked at him too, and his eyes were steadfast. But unless I was much mistaken, he went pale, and his face betrayed something like dismay. Music was in the blood of all of them. All their lives they had heard the greatest pianists in the world, and they judged with instinctive precision. The only person whose face betrayed no emotion was Leah Maycart. She listened very attentively. She was as still as an image in a niche. Finally, Maycart delivered her judgment. If I thought you had in you the makings of an artist, I shouldn't hesitate to beseech you to give up everything for art's sake. Art is the only thing that matters. In comparison with art, wealth and rank and power are not worth a straw. Of course, I can see that you've worked very hard. Don't think it's been wasted. It will always be a pleasure to you to be able to play the piano, and it will enable you to appreciate great playing as no ordinary person can hope to do. But George had neither the hands nor the ear, she continued, to become a first-rate pianist, not in 1,000 years.